Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll continue with our second portion of our study, that is, commentaries on specific chapters of the Quran. Notice we will not cover all the 114 chapters of the Quran, but we will simply give you overview of some of its verses. And I think that is the most important part of our study for this book. Once again, let me remind you that this book was written years and years ago. We do not have a name for an author, but simply we know for sure that it is an excellent work. That's why I chose to translate it to you from Arabic to English. So today, let's begin our commentaries on chapter 1 of the Quran. Now, when we talk about chapter 1, we're talking about Al-Fatiha, which is the opening. It is the most repeated and important chapters of the Quran. The Quran, supposedly the word of Allah, given to Muhammad through Angel Jibreel. Muslims actually believe that the Quran is an uncreated book. You cannot say somebody made the Quran. It is eternal. When some people in the history of Islam claim that the Quran is a created book, which means Allah made it like Allah made everything else, those people were put to death. We're not talking about a few hundred, but thousands of Muslims who lost their life simply because they made the claim that the Quran is a created book. No, in Islam, the Quran is not a created book. There is not one chapter in the Quran is a created chapter. The entire Quran is eternal. As long as there was Allah, there was always the Quran. It is a book with no beginning and no end. Even though Muslims claim that the Quran was written on the guarded board 50,000 years before Allah created the universe. But the Quran itself, the word of Allah, is eternal. It has no beginning and it has no end. Now, what is so amazing about Quran chapter 1 is that it is the most important part of Islam, which is used in their daily prayers. As a matter of fact, if a Muslim pray his 5 daily prayers, he will be repeating Quran chapter 1 17 times. Now, if Muslim will pray extra prayers, for sure he'll be quoting Quran chapter 1 even more. So, it is a very important chapter all Muslims memorize. Now, first of all, I would like to read to you that chapter. Then we're going to go through it one more time to look at our commentary on that chapter. It goes like that. The praise be to Allah, the Rabb of the Alameen, the Rahman, the Rahim, the owner of the day of the Deen. To you we serve and to you we seek assistance. Guide us to the straight Surat, the way of those whom you have graced, not those whom the wrath is against, nor the lost ones. Now, as I read that chapter for you, obviously some of you did not understand what I'm talking about. Why? Because we got 7 words there do not make any sense in the English language. Why? Because they're not English words. These are the word Allah, the word Rabb, the word Alameen, the word Rahman, the word Rahim, the word Deen, and the word Surat. Now, if you read that chapter in my English translation, that's exactly what you're going to get. Next to all these 7 words, there are numbers. So now I'm going to remove that number, and I'll tell you exactly what these words means in the English language. So it's going to go like that. The praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the merciful, the merciful, the owner of the day of judgment. To you we serve and to you we seek assistance. Guide us to the straight way, the way of those whom we have graced, the Muslims, not those whom the wrath is against, the Jews, nor the lost ones, the Christians. This is Quran chapter 1. Now, I know in some English translation, you will see that that chapter actually had 7 verses. But in my translation, there's only 6 verses. Why is that? It's simply because at the beginning of that chapter, you see the statement, "In the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Merciful." And that is actually the statement which is written before every chapter in the Quran, except Quran chapter 9, which is the final revelation of Allah to Muhammad through his angel Jibreel, as Muslims claim. The reason why I did not put "In the name of Allah, the Merciful" to be verse 1, because it is not a verse in the Quran. Not because I said so, but because actually that is what some Muslim scholars believe. This is a verse which Muslims added to all the chapters of the Quran. The only time which that verse is mentioned in the Quran and it was counted as verse, it is what we read in Quran chapter 27 and verse 30. In the letter which was written by King Solomon, son of King David, to the Queen of Sheba, which obviously a made-up story Muhammad inserted in the Quran. Now, throughout the pages of the Quran, that is all the 114 chapters, you will see that opening statement, "In the name of Allah, the Merciful," written before the chapters. And not one of them was written as verse 1. And as I said earlier, Quran chapter 9, which is the final word of Allah, does not have that opening statement. And if you think about it, how can the Quran be the uncreated eternal word of Allah and it begin with the statement, "In the name of Allah, the Merciful"? Why Allah would say, "In the name of Allah, the Merciful"? If it was the word of Allah and if it was eternal, it would be, "In my name, I am the Merciful." That's why some Muslim scholars assured us that that statement is not actually a verse in the Quran. And even if it was a verse in the Quran, when we go to the final chapter of the Quran, chapter 9, we see that Allah has abrogated, canceled, erased, removed that sentence from his final word. And by that, now we know for sure that the Quran declared to us that Allah is no longer a merciful God. Small g, o, d. And before we share the commentary on Quran chapter 1, let me give you these 7 words which we have read in the original language and in the English language. The word Allah, and I'm amazed that all my life I believe that the word Allah is actually an Arabic word. But surprise, surprise, as I continue to study and investigate the Quran, I found that the word Allah is actually non-Arabic word, which comes from the Syriac Hebrew origin, which is the word God. In the Hebrew text, it is actually written in the plural form, which means gods. So in the name of Allah, the word Allah comes from the Hebrew or Syriac origin. The word Lord, which is the word Rab, also another non-Arabic word, which comes from Aramaic Syriac origin. And now we know that the Quran not only contains Hebrew and Syriac, but also contain Aramaic words. Now we move to the third word, which is the word Al-Alamin. It's a plural word, which in English means worlds. And it is non-Arabic word from Aramaic, Hebrew, Syriac origin. Now, the word merciful is written throughout the Quran. And if you investigate how other Muslim translators translate that word in the opening statement, "In the name of Allah, the merciful," you find that there are actually 2 different Hebrew words or Greek words. That is the original language. Now we know that we have in the Quran Greek words. The word Rahman is the same word as Rahim, so which translated into the English language to merciful. So you say, "The praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the merciful," or in the opening statement of that chapter and every other chapter of the Quran except chapter 9, it's actually said, "In the name of Allah, the merciful." Other translators try to play games with words to try to give us 2 separate meanings for the word merciful. So you see that Ahmad Ali begin his translation of these words by stating that it is, "In the name of Allah, most benevolent, ever merciful." Ali Kureya said, "In the name of Allah, the all-beneficent, the all-merciful." Ahmed Kahin said, "Allah, beginning with the name of the most gracious, the most merciful." Al-Bari stated, "In the name of God," and here he used a capital G-O-D, "the merciful, the compassionate." In Corpus Quran we read, "In," and he put the word "the" between parentheses, "name," and then he put "of" between parentheses. Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, which actually what he's trying to say, it means in name Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, which is to me, dumb for dumbers. Because the word the and the word of, which he put between parentheses, are actually words in the Quran in the Arabic language. Well, let's move on to Daryabdi Quran. And he translated that sentence to say, in the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. Halali and Kahin wrote, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Mudadi said, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate. Muhammad Sauer said, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful. Karibullah translated to be, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the most merciful. Wow, that is almost very close to my translation, because he used the word merciful twice, except in the second time added the word the most merciful, and the word most is not there in the Arabic language. Let's move to Sahih International, and there it is written, in the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. And finally, Yusuf Ali said, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. In our accurate translation, which is the only accurate translation, it is actually said, in the name of Allah, the merciful, because simply we know that the word Rahman and the word Rahim are non-Arabic words, which means merciful.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Now, Muslims say that the Quran is the word of Allah, which was descended on Muhammad. Now we ask a question. If the Quran is the word of Allah, will Allah say, to you we serve and to you we seek refuge? Whom Allah is talking to? Will Allah ask Allah to guide him to the straight way? To whom Allah is giving this prayer? Quran chapter 1 is simply a prayer of somebody to Allah. Can the Quran be that somebody who is Allah speaking to himself, or maybe speaking to a greater God whom he call Allah? That is point number one, which from it we come to the conclusion that actually Al-Fatiha, Quran chapter 1, is simply the words of Muhammad or his supplication to Allah, asking Allah the guidance. Linguistically, the better way to say that prayer in the Arabic language, it is to say, Bika nasta'in. We seek assistance with you, not to you we seek assistance. In the Arabic language, that's not the right way to speak. So it's like the person who's speaking did not have good Arabic grammar to speak to Allah accurately. And that is great evidence that the Quran was not written by someone whose Arabic is his first language. And obviously, there's plenty of evidence to support that. Point number three, which sadly, most Americans do not know. Because I've seen Muslim imams going all over the churches of the United States of America. These are liberal churches, of course. Or even when they meet with those so-called conservative big preachers with big names, these Muslims have no problem to quote Quran chapter 1 in a loud voice. in the Arabic and in the English language by saying, guide us to the straight way, the way of those whom you have graced, not the way whom your wrath is against, nor the lost ones. And nobody ever asks this Muslim imam too, would you please explain to me, what do you mean by these words? When you say, guide us to the straight way, what do you mean by these words, the straight way? If the Muslim is honest, or if we simply read any of the interpretation of Muslim scholars, you find that the straight way is Islam. So Muslims is asking Allah to guide them to Islam. Wait a minute, I thought you're already Muslim. Why you repeat this vain repetition, words without any necessity to asking Allah to guide you to Islam when you are a Muslim? But let's continue with the next portion. Not the way of those whom your wrath or your anger is against. Ask any Muslim scholars, they will tell you, these are the Jews. So the Muslim in his prayer, which he repeats 17 times a day in his 5 daily prayer, he's asking Allah to guide him to Islam, not to Judaism. Why? Because if he become a Jew, that means the wrath of Allah will be upon him. But we have a verse we have to read for our dear Muslim friends from the Quran to show them the contradictions even in their daily prayer with the rest of the word of Allah in the Quran. If we go together to Quran chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, we read the following. Allah stated, and how can they make you their judge when they have the Torah? In it, the judgments of Allah. Then they turn away after this, and those are not believers. Surely we have sent down the Torah. In it is guidance and light. The prophets judge by it those who submit themselves to the Jews and the Jewish teacher and the priest. The rest of the verse goes, in what they kept from the book of Allah, and they were witnesses over it. So do not fear the people and fear me, and do not purchase with my verses a little price. And whoever does not judge by what Allah has sent down, so those are the infidels. Imagine with me, Allah is telling every Muslim believer in Quran chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, that the Jewish people have the Torah. And in the Torah, there is guidance. In the Torah, there is the truth. And if you don't live and practice according to the teaching of Allah in these books of the Torah, then you become an infidel. But in the same time, Muslim praying to Allah never to lead him to Judaism. Why? Because then he'll become of those whom the wrath of Allah is against. Does this make any sense to you? Does it not sound like a contradiction? If there is truth in the Torah and there is truth in Judaism, and if you don't believe in these truths of the books of the Jewish people, you become an infidel. I believe Muslim ought to pray, oh Allah, lead me to Judaism. Oh Allah, lead me to the Torah. Help me to believe and practice it, not to not led by Allah to become a Jew. But the last portion of that verse, that is when Muslims say, nor the lost ones. Maybe when we read the word lost ones, we get lost because we do not know what Allah means by the word lost. The word lost in the Arabic language is dal, and every dal will spend the eternity in hell. So Muslims are praying to Allah to be guided to Islam, not to Judaism because that will make the wrath of Allah against them, nor to become a Christian because then they will be lost. And if they are lost as a Christian, they will spend the eternity in hell, because every lost will spend the eternity in hell. And the Muslim forgot that which was written in the Quran concerning the Christian people. And that is in Quran chapter 5 and verse 46. Here is what Allah said. And in their footsteps, that is the Jewish people, we sent Isa, son of Mary, confirming what is between his hands of the Torah. And we gave him the gospel. In it is guidance and light, and confirming what was between his hand from the Torah, and a guidance and a sermon to the fearer. And in verse 47 we read, and that the people of the gospel, these are the Christians, judge by what Allah has sent down in it. And whoever does not judge by what Allah has sent down, so those are the transgressors. And here we must know that all transgressors will spend eternity in hell. So instead of Muslim pray, asking Allah to be guided to Christianity, to know and to believe and to practice in that which is written in the gospel. No. He is asking Allah never to lead him to Christianity. Why? Because then if he becomes a Christian, he will spend eternity in hell, because then he will be a lost person. Don't forget, verse 48 in Quran chapter 5 is very important. Why? Because there we read the great evidence that the Bible is the perfect word of God and it cannot be changed. If Muslims believe that the Quran is perfect, for Allah there stated, and to you, that is to Muhammad, we have sent down the book, that is the Quran, with the truth, confirming what is between his hands of the book, which means that actually Muhammad had in his hand the Bible. And then Allah said, and as guardian over it, the Quran given to Muhammad to protect, to guardian the Bible. So judge between them by what Allah has sent down and do not follow their desires about what came to you from the truth. To every one of you, we have given a law and a clear way. And if Allah willed, he would have made you one nation, but to test you in what he has given to you. So hasten, between brackets, doing the goods. To Allah, you will return. So he will inform you about what you were differing. My dear Muslim friends who pray Quran chapter 1 every day, they have no clue the rest of the story of the Quran. For if they do, they would have not used this word in their prayer. Now, Muslim scholars will tell us later that we do not know if Quran chapter 1 is actually a portion of the Quran or not, and that is reality. That's why some Muslim early fathers did not add Quran chapter 1 in their Quran, because they know 100% that the Quran chapter 1 is not part of the Quran, but others added that chapter to make it chapter 1 of the Quran. If you believe it is part of the Quran, according to those who say not, then you have added a chapter in the Quran. And if you don't believe it is a portion of the Quran and you did not add it, for those who believe it is a chapter of the Quran, you have removed a full chapter of the Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again in the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.